This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za. The People's Nighttime Parliament. Power Perspective with Denzel Taylor. 8 p.m. to midnight.
It's 28 minutes to the top of the hour. Just yesterday, we were beginning to engage, and I saw it was all over the news today as well. The Pan-Africanist Congress talking about how they have then entered also the space of GNU, and how they would have been approached and talks would have happened, and they have taken then a decision as the NEC of the PAC, and they have said we will be part of this conversation. The Secretary General of the Pan-Africanist Congress is Apa Poe, and we'll be talking to Apa next. Apa, welcome to Power 98.7. Welcome to Power Perspective. How are you?
Greetings and greetings to all listeners of Power FM.
Absolutely, and it's a pleasure to have you here as the Pan-Africanist Congress. Thank you so much for gracing us. Well, let me ask you this first. I would look at it in the context of PAC decisions back in 1994. And the decisions made at that particular point to enter into those particular contested elections. Is it as a significant moment in 2024 for the Pan-Africanist Congress equivalent as we would have seen decisions made at that particular point around decisions made in today's day and age, 2024, about engaging in a GNU? Are the two even relatable in essence? I understand the logic of, you know, where we would have come from and the big dynamics of that particular time and the issues also relatable at that particular time. But there's also some massive and quite huge, momentous, you know, conversations to be had about the GNU that we are seeing forming at this particular point. How does the PAC look at, If you looked at both of those particular elements, how do you gauge them? Do you gauge them as not on par, or, you know, somewhat on par?
Definitely, they are completely different.
Yeah,
in the sense that in 1994, the ANC had won
an outright election. Yes.
And the only thing that made the circumstances then, or the circumstances that existed then, for a national government of national unity was that it was aimed at achieving an objective of uniting South Africans, of ensuring that there's inclusivity and all of that. And then, and also having a non-racial government and all those things that goes with reconciliation and all of that. So whoever would have served in the government of national unity in 1984 would have served at the pleasure of the ANC, and there was a constitutional imperative that had been set up, and then that the party needed to have met a certain threshold to participate in the government of national unity and all of that. So there was no need for a party to say. It was really at the pleasure of the ruling party, whichever party joined. The 1994 government of national unity had served at the pleasure of the ruling party then.
No, and
but now,
yeah, and now, understood all of those particular elements and what was going on at the time. I was just trying for the PAC to give me, you know, the perspective of how you gauge the decisions of this particular, you know, environment in front of us now in relation to that. And when you get to today, yes, you say now?
Yeah, now the ANC has not secured the majority necessary to form a government.
Mm.
So in order for any political party to form a government, there's a requirement that it should have a 50 plus 1%, which is 51%. So whoever comes into a national government or a coalition government, there needs to be an agreement and understanding. So when you serve there, you are not serving there at the behest of a political party, but it is as a result of the outcome of the elections. Now, the outcome of the election has necessitated that party should come together and form a government. So that is the current circumstances.
Sure. Let's get to Appa, let's get to what's going on with the PAC. So you would have had an NEC, and that particular NEC would have then guided the political party and said, we will be part of, you know, this government of national unity, having then, of course, you know, had those exploratory talks with the ANC. You would have not had these particular engagements pre the election of the president and the speaker in parliament, but it seems as though you would have had them post that particular, you know, event. Let me start here, though, because I just wanted to place that in context of when you began to engage with the ANC per se. The Progressive Caucus, in essence, in which you looked at finding yourself at one particular point ahead of this particular decision that you've made now, what was the ultimate criteria or decision to leave that particular space and catapult yourself into a decision where the NEC says, we will be part of this GNU, where previously you might have been defining yourself outside of this particular space?
I think it's a misconception that we had rejected the GNU and opted for a progressive forum, which was actually a forum of political parties.
Sure.
We went into a progressive forum in a sense of offering the ruling party then an alternative, to say that
as a group then?
As a group, yes.
Okay.
In the event
okay.
that you need partners, we are here as a group.
Okay.
And coming together with the ANC as a group would have resulted in us giving the ruling party an option of having a majority minus the parties that we regarded as right-wing political parties.
Mm.
So we...
And the numbers would have been more or less the same?
Yes.
Bar a few numbers here and there, the numbers would have been more or less the same?
We would have been able to have 50 plus 1.
Yeah.
Said we are offering the ANC as a group an alternative to say, with our vote, with us, we can form a government minus these parties that we believe are parties on the right.
Okay.
So should you, as the ANC, wish to form a government of national unity, we are available together as a group. And we believe that we are a progressive group. We believe that we can only with you advance the gains of democracy. We believe that together with you, we are more or less thinking alike.
Okay.
So that was the alternative that we were together providing with this forum. It was not that we are constituting ourselves outside the current setup. So there's that misnomer. People think that we were saying we are challenging the current setup. No, that's not how it was to be.
Sure.
So, but the ANC has since rejected that, has opted that they needed what they now call a government of national unity, which includes parties that we believe are right-wing leaning political parties.
Mm.
And therefore, that's why we have this setup.
Mm.
So as the PAC sat down, now the circumstances warrant us to reevaluate our position with regard to this. Since the ANC has rejected that offering of us as a collective, what did we do?
Mm.
We then had a meeting on Monday as a National Executive Committee and resolved that out of that meeting that since the ANC has rejected that, let's rather go in this new setup and in this new setup hope to be able to move the new setup from its right-wing leaning leanings towards more positive outlook that we believe is progressive and that believe that can advance this country. And we then said that it's also important that we put the agenda of the return of the land to African people firmly back on the agenda in the very same grouping that has decided to come together. And we said, because we believe we've got superior logic, because we believe that we've got an ideological outlook that is far, far advanced than this current groupings, we'll be able to move the setup that has now came to be towards what we believe can move this country forward.
Sure. Just for clarification, Apo, let me ask you. When the Progressive Caucus formation began to happen in opposition to what was going on the other side, and the grouping then presented itself as an, you know, a different partner, you know, a different bride in essence to be married by the ANC in this particular instance. Let me ask you, was there any formalities in relation to you as a group that had reached out to the ANC and said, we see what you're doing there, but consider us as a proposition, as a grouping, and they, in writing and or verbally and or however they would have said to you as a group, they would have rejected you and said no. What kind of formalities were happening at that particular? I'm just trying to work out whether, you know, you had just assumed that, you know, they were continuing with the other parties and that they had rejected you, or that they had formally written to you as a group and that you had formally written to them as a group that said, you know, rather take us.
In all the discussions, there were no formalities. And it was just approaches that we were coming up with. As you pointed out in your intro, in your intro, and initially, let me start back a bit. Immediately after the announcement of the elections, all political parties, no exception, realized that we needed each other to form a government.
Mm.
We then said we must talk to each other. Initially, the ANC decided that they were going to talk to the so-called big four political parties and include everybody else. They spoke to the EFF, they spoke to
the IFP, the DA.
IFP, the DA, the PA, excluding everyone else.
Mm.
Initially, and we felt that, but we are a very important stakeholder in the parliament. We needed to find a forum to say that let us come together and talk together.
Mm.
And then apparently there was a fallout between those parties, the local brothers. And then we then met in parliament and we informally then agreed on this approach to say that should there be a need, let's offer ourselves to the ANC informally as a bloc and say we can together with you constitute a government. But that also failed to convince the ruling party. By the ruling party, I mean the party which had the largest bloc of vote, which was 40%, the ANC. Then a second round of discussion is what we are currently having.
Appet, do you have an understanding as to what the reasons were for the rejection? As this particular bloc that was presenting itself, you know, as a possibility, what was in any sense your understanding of what the underlying rejection was, and the ANC going ahead with, you know, the processes that they were engaged in? What was so disturbing and or, you know, difficult for the ANC to participate in a marriage of sorts with the group that was presenting itself as an alternative partner?
The integrities of it, we didn't know, except that when we had the meeting as a group with the ANC, what they told us that they don't believe that is viable. They had considered it, and in their own analysis, we don't know what would have informed that. In their own analysis, they don't believe it's a viable option. They believe that an all-inclusive option is more viable. They also told us that they had many other options that they had considered, but for them, a more viable option is what they are now presenting to the country.
In the decision by the NEC that you would have now had of the PAC sitting down and you know suggesting that of course you now will include your name to the statement of intent with the modalities to follow, and of course those modalities will be worked out. You obviously are very aware of some of the kind of issues that are already being raised within society, within aspects of the ANC, within, you know, an analysis of where ideology is and who's different and what issues make them different and all of those things. But in joining the group of the ANC, the DA, the IFP, the Patriotic Alliance, the NFP, Good, and yourselves now, the PAC, amongst others, the EFF says it's on the verge of accepting. There's just, you know, a line or two that they want, you know, you know, explained to them. The UDM seemingly also, Bantu Olomisa had indicated that the ANC had approached them and, you know, they were working out issues in that particular case. So there's the Freedom Front Plus and the UDM that might still join. In your NEC meeting, you would have been very, very aware that you would be sitting with the Freedom Front Plus and the DA, in essence, in what is now being called a GNU. Did you take that into consideration at all, or did you, you know, did the aspect of we need to be on the field rather than spectators off the field? We believe that our superior logic and our ideological clarity will surpass some of the others in the arguments that are made, irrespective of the fact that, yes, the DA will sit there and, yes, the Freedom Front will sit there. You saw it differently, in essence, in the engagement part rather than, you know, sitting with parties where you would not generally engage in.
You see, all what we have just said, we have considered everything as a whole.
Yeah.
All of these things that you have just said, we considered all of them, all together. And I'm happy that we are having this platform to clarify once and for all. Earlier today, I called the editor of the public broadcaster,
the SABC,
explained to them that you seem not to understand exactly what has transpired with regard to this new animal that has now come to be. It is not true that the PAC as a political, and I think you are the first radio station where we are explaining things as they are.
We do things differently, on Power 98.7, Brood.
As things stand now, as a PAC, we do not have any agreement whatsoever with the Freedom Front Plus, with the DA, with the IFP, and then all of these parties. We only have an agreement with the African National Congress, which has invited us to be part of a national government of unity, which for us, in our agreement with them, they have not identified which are the parties who are part of this animal.
They were speaking to you solely as a party and
yes,
and not as a collective.
Yes, but we know in the public domain that they've also done same with all other parties that you mentioned.
It's
not that we are ignorant of that fact. So all of us, we've got our own separate understanding and agreement. And probably at some point we will sit under the same roof. We don't know with whom.
Sure.
Are we going to be under the same roof? But as matters stand now,
gotcha.
What we have agreed upon is that there's a need for a government that is going to be inclusive, that is going to be sustainable, that is going to take the country forward. And our view as the PAC, when we decided to be part of that arrangement, is that we felt very strongly that the views of our voters, the views of our supporters and our constituency need to be firmly put on the table as well. Hence, we decided to be part of this arrangement.
Sure. Appa, I'm going to bring Nick and Lesiba into the conversation to ask a question. Nick in Pretoria. Nick?
Good evening, Denzel. How are you, sir?
I'm good, bro. How are you, my man?
I'm okay. Denzel, a few things. On the 16th of June, you can ask your guest, where was the PSC on the 16th of June? On the 16th of June, Denzel, the PSC was with AZAPO in Soweto.
Yeah.
And what the member of AZAPO, they were saying, they don't recognize this GNU and they don't know the GNU. He said the original GNU was started by the PSC and the other political parties. So they don't. You can even check the archives. They said they don't recognize this GNU. Today is the 19th. They are saying something very different. So I'm trying to say that politicians, they don't honor their words. They say this, tomorrow they say this. So we don't know this GNU. They can today say this, tomorrow they're going to change their mind. They're going to, like Julius Malema, he said he was not joining, now he's joining. It's like Helen Zira, they said they don't support African National Congress is corrupt. Now they are part of the African National Congress coalition.
Gotcha.
So the politicians are very, they don't, someone says politicians are liars. Today they say this, tomorrow they say different story. So meaning that this GNU is not going to last, because every day politicians, they change their story based on what they are gaining and what they are going to get. And the other thing, voters are not consulted. Voters are not involved in this GNU. Voters voted, but they don't. These parties, they don't got their voters to ask what must they do, because they are just joining without the mandate of the voters. So meaning that if this GNU doesn't work, the voters will need to go on the street and then march. And then please ask the guests,
what are
they going to do when the
Nick,
motion of no confidence is put against Cyril Ramaphosa in the parliament regarding the issue of Palapala?
Got him. I'm gonna ask him about that, but let's go to Lesiba in the West Rand. Lesiba?
Good evening, and good evening to your guests.
Sure.
To Mr. Harper, the question would be, has he consulted the branches? Because I believe in 2018, Mr. Shiro, where the PAC had its Congress, the Congress did not meet its any criteria to seek. So the Congress that he was elected in, it was a legitimate, it was not, it was an illegal Congress. Firstly, credentials were not debated and issues were not debated. The Constitution of PAC 5.1 says the National National Congress shall be the highest decision making making vote. And in that Congress, we failed to discuss anything, but we went as members, we were beaten up and we rejected to from branches, we rejected to vote. Hence, today we are seeing them contradicting the ideas of the PAC in their manifesto, and also going around making relationships with the likes of the DA in the.
Sure. Lesiba, let me put it to Apropo. I think what Lesiba is saying is also eminent from what was coming out of the previous one. Branches and going back to the voters, in essence, did you do that? I mean, none of the other political parties, in essence, in fairness, have done any of that. So I just wanted to put that out there as well. That particular space is not, you know, privy to only you. None of the others have actually, you know, felt the need to go back and consult the voters and or their branches, in essence. But also the element of a rejection at June 16 event, and then an acceptance of that would that particular scenario.
It is indeed correct that we were with ASAPO on the 16th of June, and your caller is correct. ASAPO pronounced itself on the matter of government of national unity, and that they don't support it. But ASAPO is a separate political party.
Yeah. And contested the election separately.
Hence they contested the elections separately. We may be having a relationship because we are from the same background, and there are certain similarities, and we have a relationship with them, but that does not make us one organization. And they, on their own, have pronounced themselves on that. And the PAC has also made its own pronouncement. So it is not correct that the PAC has changed tune. It is not the PAC pronouncement. It was an ASAPO as an independent political party. So the PAC has pronounced itself, as you correctly pointed out at the beginning of your show. With regards to the party internal arrangement, it is important to understand that the PAC constitution provides that in between conferences, the highest decision-making body of the PAC is the National Executive Committee, and the National Executive Committee is the one that has taken these decisions. And because, of course, we've got structures in the PAC, for instance, in the National Executive Committee, we've got provinces that are represented there. The provinces then cascade down up to the branch. But however, be it as it may be, in the modalities of the framework that we have agreed upon, is that we are also going to have a broader consultation with the broader societies, be it civil society, be it all other political parties that are not even part of this GNU or are not represented in parliament. They are going to be consulted. We are going to have a meeting with them. We are going to draft. We are going to have a meeting where we are going to draft a program for the new government together with all civil society and everybody who is interested to be part of this. So the process of consultation is going to come also.
Sure.
Yes.
Apopo, thank you so much for joining me here on Power Perspective tonight, and engaging as you have, and giving some clarity to some of the issues, and of course as you engage and the finalities and the modalities become more concrete, we'll of course ask for you to come back and as the PAC then just talk to those particular aspects of what's going on and how you envisage dealing with them.
Thank you. I'll let you do so. I'll continuously engage with the public. And it is important that all of these agreements, like I said to you, that should be made public so the public is informed and can hold us accountable, so that people are not misled out there as to what is happening. Because, as I said, there's this popular narrative that there's already an agreement between the PAC, the DA, and all these other parties. And I challenged some of other people that, please show me the agreement where the PAC has sat down with the DA, Freedom Van, and agreed, because there's no such. What we have responded to is an invitation by the African National Congress, and the process is ongoing.
Sure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Apopo is the Secretary General of the Pan-Africanist Congress, talking to us and taking us through the conversations there. Of course, movements from where they were before in the Progressive Caucus, and how they had strategically engaged that particular bloc to present themselves to the ANC as an alternative, which of course then, as you heard, for whatever reasons, and he said he did not know the reasons, the ANC rejected.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.